It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from the brand new Rouses, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Get 1 gallon of Rouses vegetable oil for $7.99 at any Rouses. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Bob, somebody wants to tell you about that speculation. We got Ronald and Metairie. Ronald, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Bobby, I agree with you 100%. It's time for a change. The last 2 years I call in, and I said the Saints going to be 13-4 or 12-5. And Bobby, you said, well, where am I drinking? And I said, I'm a diehard Saints fan. And the first 2 games I seen, they blew them away. And I was about to call you. I said, no, I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm shocked about this season. But you're 100% right. It is time for a change. I think we need all things. If you are right, what do you think, what quarterback do you think we should go get? If you're right, you get all new changes.
As far as the general manager and coach?
Yeah. What quarterback, what do you think we should keep Derek Carr or go try to get someone else?
The quarterback class, now Mike Dottiglia can elaborate on this. The quarterback class is down in the draft. So I think Derek Carr would be the quarterback next year. I don't know about 2026, but I think Derek Carr would be the quarterback for this year and next year. Now, that's just my opinion, because I don't think that it would be necessarily a better option. I think very similar. I guess I'm a prisoner of the moment. Who would be Dan Campbell-like as far as a head coach would be Coach Vrabel, who was with the Tennessee Titans. You know, we all know the Patriots and Belichick. Mike, don't you?
I'd pass on Belichick.
No, but what I'm saying, he played under Belichick with the Patriots.
Yeah, he was Vrabel. A player. Yeah, linebacker.
And so don't you think he's kind of a Dan Campbell-like?
He has some similarities.
That's the hottest thing of late.
Yeah, he's got some similarities.
Don't you think 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year that he probably will have an opportunity? He would be one of those guys. Wouldn't you think that?
If that scenario, what Bobby talked about, would happen, I'll let the general manager pick the head
coach. Yeah, whoever the general manager wants.
Because you got to work with that guy day to day, hour to hour, on everything. So I would try to find me a guy, and they have him in this league now, a younger guy, okay, who's got a little bit of experience.
Outside the building, yeah.
From a personnel standpoint. Because I'm a big believer, I can find the money guy. And you got him already in Kai Harley. He's already there. My thing is, I need to upgrade the personnel on this football team. New players, either it's by the draft, free agency, trades. I go find somebody who's got that background and put him in that position. And you got 2 things to do. You need to overhaul the roster, and you need to find me a new head coach. And I want a young head coach.
Bobby.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, real quick. What do you think the Saints have to do this year to finish a decent record? And one more question: what do you think that LSU has to do to win against Alabama? That's my two questions.
Okay, Mike and I are both elaborate on that. I think still because their harder part of the schedule was at the beginning, but it just goes to show you that was fool's gold because the Cowgirls were sorry. You know, we waxed Dallas, but so did Detroit. So we're 2-0, so we end up going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
I know the Cowboys ain't changing GMs.
Yeah. Well no, because he likes...
he likes the attention.
Well,
come on.
He likes to do his radio show. But to me, what I've really been discouraged is what happened, because I thought we had no chance, was at Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Denver, and somewhat the Chargers, but not really. So that's why I'm still... looking at how they're going to respond. I mean, you look at strength of schedule. Mike, I still think because you're going in the opposite direction, let's say you go 8-9. Well, Bobby, would you think they're going to win six more games? Just look at the schedule. I mean, I don't know. Flip a coin. Like, you're playing a team like the Raiders. Are you playing like the Browns? I mean, so they have teams. It's not like all of a sudden – like for instance,
it's not like you play in Detroit.
Yeah, or, for instance,
or Kansas City.
Are we playing the Packers on Monday night in December?
No, that's a different story.
They're going to win that, yeah, but it's not like a bunch of teams like that.
No, very
few.
And
then to close out the season, the best case scenario, we could be like 7-9. And then Tampa Bay is, what are they playing for? That's the last team we play on the schedule. So all of a sudden,
might be playing for a playoff spot.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, might stay 7-10, or you might be 8-9. But that's what I'm saying. I don't think 8-9 is good enough.
My thing is on the field. You've got to be able to run the football and stop the run. This team has had, and I can't explain why they've had so much difficulty stopping the run. And, okay, you got rid of some pieces there. David Onyemata, he got a bigger paycheck, and he went to Atlanta. I get that particular part. But, you know, Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard, are they making plays?
No.
No. Brian Bercy gives you a pass rusher inside, but he is exactly what the scouting report is on him. Really good athlete, can get up the field, good pass rusher. He's tall. He's like a big cowboy. He's high in the saddle. And so the linemen get under his pads and they move him around. You got to be able to stop the run. And when this team had success early, what did they build it on? Running the football.
Yeah, without a doubt. And who knows? He brought up the Alabama question. What's it going to take to beat Alabama? All I know is we can't average 1 yard a carry against Alabama. You expect Nussmeier to be a miracle worker week in and week out? That was not good. I'm looking at 37 yards rushing through three quarters. Now, Mike, what did LSU against A&M? They had 24 yards and 23 carries. It's like they're averaging 1 yard a carry. No, it's not going to get it done. And it's just you're asking too much of Nussmeier. Now, he ended up throwing three interceptions, but you don't want him throwing the ball 50 times a game. So somehow, can they find a way to run? That's been one of the most disappointing areas, is that you say, oh, LSU has one of the best offensive lines in the country.
Pass blocking.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. I don't know about run blocking.
Run blocking, no way.
No, so that was very discouraging. And then the one thing they cannot afford to have against Alabama, because the game could be that close, I think, you can't have 10 penalties or more around 100 yards. So that's like giving up a touchdown. Let's say you're within 3 points. Well, you got to be more disciplined with the penalties. So that's two areas. You know, can we run the ball better? I think they're going to be, I don't know, Mike, can they contain a running quarterback?
My thing is you can't play two-hand touch with him like you did last year or what you played against Reed
and
A&M.
And I don't know, but the Arkansas guy can run, and then we were prepared maybe because we have a bye week.
Bob, believe that okay – my thing is, you have played against those guys. South Carolina had a running quarterback. Arkansas had a running quarterback. I think some people here, they're trying to take away from the fact Reed made all those plays.
And Reed's a better passer than you think. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do against South Carolina tonight.
Okay.
As far as in the passing game.
What did A&M have that the other two teams didn't? They got a stud runner in Le'Veon Moss.
Oh, yes. From Estruma.
From Estruma. Oh, no. Man, because you got fear that that guy not only could get a 5-yard run, that a 55-yard run on those plays.
He reminded
me. I don't buy that. We weren't prepared.
He maybe wasn't on that level, but he kind of reminded me. Remember when A-Chain ran all over us? I was like, whoa.
A-Chain ran everything to the edge, everything to the edge. But Moss ran between the tackles.
Yeah.
And that was, man, he was breaking tackles. He was getting away from people. And it was the worst game that Whit Weeks played because he had been such a playmaker.
Yep.
And, man, you saw him falling off of people or he was a step behind to make the tackle.
So, Mike, I have a question for you.
You don't stop Jalen Milroe, you got issues again.
I don't know. I think if obviously if LSU can do this, they're in the postseason. They're going to be in the playoffs, in the postseason with 12 teams. But I don't know if they can do it. Look, can they run the table in the Final Four in November? I mean, I don't know. Alabama, Florida, look where Vanderbilt's at. I mean, Oklahoma, to me, they should be able to beat Oklahoma. Or you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Vanderbilt, you better be ready to play. Florida's not the Florida as of late. So, really, next Saturday is a playoff game. With Alabama, one team's going to be knocked out, and one team's still going to have a chance. So I think that's where LSU's at right now. Now, the one thing, Mike, that was, I think, significant, when they lost Garrett Dillinger, the left guard. We're looking at with that ankle injury, and then, I mean, here's a guy, 30 career starts, his experience. What is your take on that when you look at a continuity on the offensive line? I think they missed him.
Yeah, they did, but... I'm not going to say that. That's why they couldn't run the ball, because couldn't run the ball when he was in the lineup.
Exactly.
Man, they're not physical, and they're not moving people off the line of scrimmage at all. So people, you know, they've called in the talk show and say, well, Mike, maybe Garrett should get under center to do it. Well, it doesn't make any difference if he's under center or he's in the shotgun. If you're not moving people up front, guess what? You're not running the football very well. Now, against Alabama, the one guy – I would rotate coverage toward every play. Ryan Williams, all of 18 years old, the freshman wideout for the Crimson Tide. Bob, he's a tilt-the-field type player. You know, he reminds me of...
Was he the one that made the big play against Georgia?
Yes.
And it was like, whoa, that was acrobatic.
He reminds me of a young Lynn Swan, who I saw at USC. That's who he reminds me of, type of player.
That's a good measuring stick there if you have him in that category.
Okay, how many 18-year-olds are walking off of a campus and he's starting at Alabama and they the most significant player on offense?
No.
Ain't a lot like that.
That's kind of like the impact of like Deion Sanders or who's the Heisman guy goes both ways, Hunter?
Oh, Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter. Now, you know from the get-go, that cat's playing.
No, you know one thing. This ain't his last stop.
And he's practicing all the refs, offense and defense, and in the game. I mean, that's like old school 1960s or 50s when you win both ways.
That's shocking to me. And if I had a vote tomorrow.
For the Heisman?
Travis Hunter's the number one guy on the list. I don't see how you can give it to anyone else because nobody can do what he's done at that level at wide receiver and cornerback.
Yeah, Mike, I would tend to agree with that. And the one thing I think you'd agree with this, and it could come down to LSU can't be a debacle, I should say, because you want an offense, defense, and special teams when you're trying to kick a damn field goal. I mean, if you look against Alabama, it could come down to can you make a field goal? Well, you got to have the snapper. The holder, the kicker, they have to be like automatic. It can't be like everybody's looking, well, why did you snap the ball too soon? Or why was that a bad snap? Or why was that a bad hold or a bad kick?
But no, you can't let the ball hit you in the head.
No, Mike, there was on 3 field goal attempts that is unacceptable because that could be the difference whether LSU continues to have a chance to be in the postseason.
And, Bob, it's less than a minute left. Ohio State with a 20-13 lead over Penn State.
Does Penn State have the ball or what?
No.
No.
Ohio State has the football. So it's 20-13.
Well, how much time left?
59 seconds.
Oh, no. And Penn State's going to
lose
again.
And you ain't scored in all that time. You're not going to all of a sudden score.
And then Coach Franklin, they'll be like –
So Ryan Day gets a day off of being in the hot seat.
Oh, without a doubt. Because
Ryan, I think, Ryan's catching it, too.
Well, they were both in the hot seat. But Ryan Day, like, for instance, this year, because down year at Michigan, he can't lose to Michigan.
Well, he don't beat Michigan this year. He got some real issues.
No, because they'll be like, what? You got to be kidding me. No, because that's the whole thing. Ohio State, you know what Ohio State's like to me? They like an SEC team from up north. What
yeah,
I mean by that, the
you.
Fans' expectations. Ohio State fans are diehard football fans. Ohio loves football like we do in the Deep South. You know how the Browns fans, the dog pound and all that? No, they are that demanding.
Okay.
And they feel like, well, if we're not undefeated, we don't need more than one loss. I mean, Ohio State
you
thinks
already
like,
got your loss. You lost
like,
to Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, we can't lose no more. Exactly.
Bob, it's a final. Ohio State has beat Penn State 20-13. So, yeah, I hope Rich Marty ain't listening to this.
Yeah, we'll have to
but
call Rich.
He's really disappointed. But it's so funny you bring that up. At Manning Camp, one of the last interviews I did was Will Howard, the quarterback for Ohio State. The first thing that came out of his mouth is, this year, it's national championship or bust.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
no.
mean, he didn't cut around the edge with it.
And I can tell you why. You know what also, Mike? Because they're playing that game. I want to say Ohio State name, image, and likeness spend like $20 million.
You better spend your money
so wisely. So they're like the Yankees and the Dodgers. Hell, yeah, we trying to win a damn championship. I don't care how we go about doing it. So, no, Mike, it's like this. It ain't just go to the postseason. You know, LSU
you
fans,
gotta win
we
it.
Just want to go to the postseason. No, Ohio State all. No, we got to win it all.
We'll be back. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia live from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi on the Big 870 WWL. You can buy a Hormel Cure 81 spiral ham and get a free butterball turkey with a $25 purchase. We'll be back with more of a special edition of Sports Talk and the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon. We live from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi. 2384 Pass Road. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Buy a bag of Camilla beans, Red Navy, or Great Northern. Two bags for $3 at any Rouse's Markets. Bob, while we're trying to get in touch with Chris Blair, we're bringing up, you know, the situation with LSU in Alabama. And, man, you look at the impact. Man, Ryan Williams in three games sort of tilted the field for the Crimson Tide, and making catches in crucial situations. We saw what he did in the Georgia game when Georgia made a run for it late. Man, I'm throwing the football to Ryan. Let Ryan come down with it. He, when you watch him, and you saw the older Lynn Swan, you might have saw the young one too.
Right.
But he has got a lot of similarities to the Swan that I saw as a kid at SC. That's how good he is.
Yeah, and Mike, I look at Alabama, and you know they're going to be restless because you know no matter who's coaching there, you're going to be compared to Coach Saban.
Yeah.
And you
that's
know,
some big moccasins,
right? You never want to be the man to replace the man, and unless you're winning a championship. But you let Alabama lose to LSU, and they're not in the postseason.
Wee.
Mike, Paul Feinbaum and all them, they'll be like.
Oh, already Paul has thrown a couple of shovels of dirt on him already. With
right,
the
right.
But
right.
So you know he would really get the excavate out for that
but
one.
But, Mike, you know what I want to see? And can he turn around? Now he finally got his feet wet. I don't know. He might be maybe one of the Saints players milking that injury is Hilton. I mean, here's a veteran wideout. To me, the trouble he had making catches in traffic, misjudging the ball.
Run!
Okay,
why are you
jumping? The first one, though, I think if he times his jump, that's a touchdown. And the next one.
Well, I think that was Tre'Davious Green that mistimed the jump.
No, I think
Hilton was the one.
No, the first one, and there was two of them.
But Hilton went up for the ball when the ball sailed
that
over.
That was the
him.
Second one. I'm talking about there was two of them. Like, come on, run. I mean, and I don't know, he's kind of nonchalant because you could see the size, his skill set.
He can run.
So, yeah, could he maybe come up big time for Alabama now that he got his feet wet?
Which you're glad, be glad if he did. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We get a weekend off from LSU football, but, man, the buildup is going to be big, and they'll have game day. Will be in Baton Rouge, so you know it's going to be hyped up next Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it, guys. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, it's odd to have two bye weeks in a given season, not complaining. But, yeah, it's interesting coming off the disappointing performance last week on the road, you know, suffering the second loss of the season, first in the SEC. And, you know, again, everything's still out there in front of you, and now you've got to match up with two teams with two losses, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, the loser next Saturday night is done as far as all the big goals on the table. So, you know, it's interesting. You get to a 12-team playoff, and you think, wow, you just try to finish in the top 12. And, again, when you're in the SEC, that's much, much easier said than done, as we're finding out with, you know, a number of teams outside of Texas A&M at this moment.
You know, Chris, you got a big enough sample size doing LSU football, and I don't know, since you've been doing it, and I've watched LSU football a long time, boy, a good thing that I don't bet or something, I thought, like, the way that game started, there ain't no way in hell LSU's losing. Now, we didn't maybe
they'd
take
have kept the quarterback, Connor Wigman.
Right.
Connor Wigman in there, yeah.
But I'm thinking how LSU seemed like they were so much in control until they were not in control. That was disappointing considering how that game swung.
Oh, 100%. You know, we got to halftime and walked out into the main press area, and there were two major topics, guys. One was, let's hope Connor Wigman continues to throw on first down. And number two, it's hard to believe we're only leading by 10 points. I mean, it felt like it was a much more dominant first half by LSU. And to your point, Bobby, I mean, everything was still riding high until the 8-minute mark in the third quarter. And when it turned on a dime. And, you know, it reminded me a lot, and I've said this a lot this past week, it reminded me of the Ole Miss LSU game at Tiger Stadium. You know, if you watch the first half, you kind of feel like, wow, how is Ole Miss barely leading in this game? They've driven up and down the field. They've had opportunities inside the red zone. And credit to LSU's defense, of course. But that's kind of the way it felt last week is, you know, it just looked like they had taken the crowd out there in the early part of the second quarter, had some chances, had some botched field goal operations, not to mention, you know, drive stalling, you know, inside the Texas A&M 30. And you're like, it feels like LSU should be up by two touchdowns or more. And, you know, when that 8-minute mark hit and you throw that interception, you set him up at the 8-yard line, Marcel Reed comes in, changes gears, gets in on one play, and then it's suddenly a, you know, a 3-point ball game. And then the crowd gets back into it. And, I mean, again, it was just very reminiscent of what happened at Tiger Stadium a few weeks early. And he goes to show you, and you guys know better than anybody, I mean, it's a game of momentum. And when you get a chance to put your foot on the pedal, you better put it on there and not let up. And unfortunately, it didn't happen for LSU.
Chris.
No, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Chris, I was telling this to Bob. I watched a lot of guys in the SEC and across the country. But the impact of Ryan Williams at Alabama, you see him and you say, what? He's 18 years old? And look all the game-changing plays he's made so far this year. I told Bob, you know, I'm old enough. I remember the young Lynn Swan, the one that played at USC, and the guy that played with the Steelers, that he comes up with some of the best acrobatic catches that I've seen from an 18-year-old. And he belongs, because a lot of times you get an 18-year-old guy in there, freshman season, they're a little bit of a fish out of the water. But in watching him, my thing is, you might beat me another way, and you, Milroe might run the football for 200 yards, but I'm not letting you throw the football to Ryan Williams. I would do what I can to make sure he's not the guy that's going to beat me on offense for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's Ryan Williams, from what I've seen this year, he's got two things that, again, just not a lot of people have at his age. Number one, he's got an incredible skill set. But secondly, he's got that confidence. Like, he came in as a freshman in the SEC playing for Alabama saying, you know, I should be here. I should be in the starting lineup. And they should be throwing me the football, you know, 12 times a game. I mean, he has that type of confidence. And, again, that's a unique factor. I mean, you get a ton of guys who come in at the SEC level that certainly had great careers in high school. But you got to believe there's a little bit of, you know, letting the game speed catch up a little bit, building that confidence. I mean, he just burst onto the scene with confidence, and he's certainly going to be one that they're working on this week on trying to keep the ball out of his hands. And I think for Jalen Milroe, you know, the key has got to be a lot of what LSU, I think, did against Jackson Dart, especially in the second half, what they did against Taylen Green in Arkansas, and what they basically did to Connor Wegman in the first half at Texas A&M, and that is just get them under pressure, get them disrupted, get them off schedule. And again, that's, you can make Jalen Milroe make mistakes if you get pressure. If he's got all day to make his decision on whether he wants to run or whether he wants to find an open receiver, that's when Alabama's at their best. And again, I think, you know, trying to limit what Ryan Williams can do is going to start with how you defend Jalen Milroe in the pocket.
Now, Chris, looking on LSU's passing game, all I know is never a winning formula. And, you know, Nussmeier, much is given, much is required, but you don't want him throwing the ball 50 times a game. I don't know, can you get some kind of resemblance of a rushing attack? Which LSU is. Yeah. I mean, just help him out. I mean, he threw three interceptions, but he threw for 405 yards. But I think at times, I played that position, he's not Superman. But can we run the ball a little bit to keep defense off balance? Because I think, Coach Kelly said this, we got to help out Nussmeier. We got the right quarterback, but we can't be one-dimensional, even though we do have great weapons on the outside. And having Nussmeier all of a sudden be efficient and highly efficient throughout the whole game, because then if you throw in 45, 50 times, you will make mistakes most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, Irk Russell, who was the defensive coordinator for Vince Dooley in that national championship at Georgia, and then he went on to found the program at Georgia Southern. I mean, he used to say, when you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them ain't good. And, you know, when you do the math and you're throwing it 50 or 51 times, I mean, you know, that's actually not a bad ratio if you get three interceptions when you're having to throw 51 times in a game. So that is not the formula. As good as Garrett has been and as good as he is, that's asking too much. And as you said, Coach Kelly was quick to point that out following the game. And the running game just has not been able to deliver, and it certainly has not been consistent. There's been flashes, and I certainly have a lot of respect and a lot of faith in the running backs that LSU has. But, you know, listening to the coaches, and you've heard them say it, it's not just the running backs, and it's not just the offensive line. I mean, it's got to be a combination of all 11 on the field. And for whatever reason, you know, the left side of the offensive line, you know, struggled against Texas A&M. And basically they decided, we're going to get Garrett out and sprint and run to the right, which, again, he's been very good in that situation. But it became so one-dimensional that on the second interception, the defender for Texas A&M, who got his second interception, said, I'm not even worried about where the receiver is. I know where the ball's going. And when it gets to be that easy, you're in big trouble. And I think that was what plagued LSU against Texas A&M. And goodness knows, I mean, there's enough. When you're throwing it 51 times again, you're going to show some of your tendencies and some of the plays and the formations you want to be in to help your quarterback be successful. And when you've done that multiple games on the year, that's a ton of film for good coaches like they have at Alabama to certainly see your tendencies, and that's what you're trying to avoid. And to your point, a running game could certainly help. I'd like to see LSU try to get the run game outside a little bit. It seems to me we've tried enough between tackles, and for whatever reason, bad run blocking, inability to break tackles at the line of scrimmage, whatever the case may be. I like a guy with world-class track speed like Caden Durham. I know this LSU fans have heard it before. I wouldn't mind a little toss sweep. You know, get him in action. If you're going to run out of a shotgun, get him moving at the snap, get him a toss, let him get outside and see if he can make a guy miss. Because we've seen once he gets free, he's very hard to bring down, very hard to get to. But they've got to find something. Now, Coach Kelly has said multiple times that they are working. Everything's on the table. Every type of play, every type of formation to try to get the running game going. So we'll see if they've been able to come up with something last week and this week coming to get ready for Alabama. Because the teams in the SEC, the defenses for everybody, too talented, too fast, too big, that if you're just going to run two or three different, you know, run plays, they're going to be able to stop it. So I think they've got to get a little more variety in how they try to run the ball.
You know, Chris, and I think LSU kind of like, you know, everyone has a slogan, or at one time we were DBU, then it turned into DB Poo, but then now we wide receiver U. I mean, you look at Lacey, you look where he's at, but you know the one who needs to step up? Because I think, I don't know how tough he is. Now, I don't know, I'm not judging him, but senior wide receiver Chris Hilton, he returned from an ankle injury. We know he's highly skilled. I mean, he was out like seven contests. And here he is. He finished the night with two catches on five targets. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, can you make contested catches? Look at his size. And, you know, it's like, well, maybe him and Nussmeier went on the same page all night. I think it's more like Nussmeier put the ball there. How about you leap at the right time on the first one? And on the second one, how about you keep running? So I think Chris Hilton, the scouts look at this. They're going to look at how he progresses now that he's playing with Nussmeier, because they need him to come up big, because I think he has that skill set.
The best ability is availability.
Yeah, and then take advantage of that opportunity.
And then make plays when you get a shot.
No, I think you're 100% right. I mean, he had not played since the bowl game, you know, on New Year's Day. So, you know, I was happy to see him out there. But I think all of us were questioning whether or not, you know, he was really back to game speed, you know, going to have a little bit of rust there. And I kind of thought they'd take a couple of shots because he is their biggest over-the-top threat, and they certainly did. And as you said, there were times where the throws were off. There were times when the route was run wrong. They just weren't quite on the same page. So, you know, I think he still is a weapon. I think he can be a huge factor. But I also think, you know, not having C.J. Daniels at 100%, I mean, to me, in this vaunted passing attack, guys, C.J. Daniels and Aaron Anderson, to me, are the keys in this, because Tyron Lacy's going to make his plays, and everybody knows that. And he's a guy that Garrett certainly trusts. But, you know, if they're going to try to bracket coverage or try to take away Tyron Lacy, the way that C.J. Daniels, he's such a possession receiver. He's got such good hands. He knows where to come back to the football. And Aaron Anderson, I think, has been, based on what we saw last year, I mean, he superseded what we thought he would do in his second year at LSU, and he's a big factor as well. But, you know, again, I think Hilton can be a huge difference maker. They probably went to that well a few too many times, but I think some of that was because Texas A&M didn't have to respect anything across the middle of the field, and that was a big loss with C.J. Daniels not in there, because he's something to, you know, as I said, a possession receiver. You need 6 to 8 yards. C.J. Daniels is your guy. He's got sure hands, and he can make guys miss because of his size. But they didn't have that there, so when they went up top, you know, Texas A&M almost looked like they knew when they were going to do it.
Now, Chris, this one thing under Coach Kelly, you know, you always want to be efficient or highly efficient in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. I don't know. It seems like we always have some kind of special teams debacle. I mean, I don't know. That has to be driving Coach Kelly crazy. Now, suddenly we got to figure out, can we snap the ball and hold the ball successfully, whether it's a PAT or a field goal attempt? Now, we had three bad ones. And, I mean, we look like, you know, that we don't know what we're doing. Like, whether you're snapping it wrong or we don't get the hold right or the kick. Because, I mean, come on, that could come back to bite you, especially if the game's on the line, a game-winning kick or not, or if you have three opportunities, that's 9 points right there. I mean, that's one thing that has to be driving Coach Kelly crazy. And special teams, it seems like it's always something. And hopefully that changes, because that could be whether you win or lose the game against Alabama.
Well, that certainly is the conundrum. That operation had been fairly smooth, in fact, really smooth for all season long until we got to game number 8. And for whatever reason, I mean, Slade Roy has been automatic with his snaps, and Peyton Todd has done a really good job of placing the kick down or placing the ball down. And Ramos, again, had, you know, he's closing in on a record for straight PAT conversion. So it's been a strong part. In fact, special teams this year had been a welcome relief with Xavion Thomas handling punts and kickoffs. There hasn't been a lot of snafus there. The young kicker from Bossier City, I mean, Aaron Burrell has been, I mean, he's just been a factor, not allowing any returns on kickoffs. So, yeah, I'm sure that is frustrating, but it almost seemed like, and again, maybe it was just an apparition, that those troubles had gotten behind LSU. You know, these guys can do and perform much better than they did on the road at Texas A&M. And, you know, I'm going to, at this point, guys, call that an anomaly, whether it was the crowd, I don't know what it was. But I think they'll be able to fix that operation fairly quickly because it had been consistent up until the last time out. But you're right. I mean, look at some of the games between LSU and Alabama when you had so much on the line that every single point matters. Every point after matters. Obviously, every two-point conversion, as we saw in 2022, matters, and every field goal opportunity. And well, to your point, against Texas A&M, you're talking about going up by 16 points possibly over Texas A&M on the road if you're able to get those first two field goals down.
Well, you know, Chris, it seemed like the crowd affected it. Like when you mentioned the crowd, to me now that won't be the problem in Tiger Stadium.
No, Alabama's got that issue.
But to me, the crowd did come into play with the communication, whatever, whether that's fair or not. But I'm sure they're aware of that going forward.
Well, I have, you know, talked to Coach Kelly about it because it seems to me from my vantage point in a couple of games where there's too much check with me, there's too much changing the play, you're asking the offensive line to stay down in a stance for 26 seconds. You know, again, I know there's times where you got to check down. The defense shows you something, you motion a receiver and they move or don't move. You get an idea of whether you can check to a run. I get all that. But again, with the communication now in the helmets, you've got plenty of time to decide the play, and then if you get a look you're not comfortable with, make that change. But, you know, there's been a couple of games this year where, you know, Garrett's stepping up to the offensive line out of the shotgun with 8 seconds on the play clock, and you've had to burn a timeout or you've suffered a false start or you've suffered a delay of game. And to me, in that Ole Miss game, there's a small sequence in the third quarter where LSU went a little tempo. They kind of got back in the game, they got a lead, and then suddenly they had Ole Miss on their heels. And I thought that Garrett, the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers, everybody looked like they were much better in a tempo. And I'm not talking snapping every 22 seconds, but I think this offense gets a little belabored when you're taking, you know, 30 seconds to decide what you're going to do and then take the snap. So, again, I thought the crowd affected them at Texas A&M, but it was because they took so long to decide, let's snap the football. I think this is a talented offense. I think they've got a talented offensive line. Let's pick the play. Let's get up. Let's line it up, and let's snap it, and let's go.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know it's supposed to be a day off for you, but, man, we appreciate you coming on with us today. And, man, have a great call. Hopefully it's a W call
and
Saturday night in Tiger Stadium.
Chris, I know you probably got an opinion on this. Well, Coach Franklin and Penn State, you know, Coach Penn State cannot, I don't know, they can't win that big one.
They can't jump the ditch.
Right, they can't win that big one, it seems like.
It's amazing. College football, I was talking to my son earlier today. We were watching the Miami-Duke game, and I thought, this is crazy. Ole Miss is wearing out Arkansas, which, again, it is still crazy. Kentucky whipped up and beat Ole Miss. But then you see Penn State and Ohio State, and you're like, how do they not pull this off? So I guess as much as things are different, a lot of things remain the same.
That's right. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, buddy. Really appreciate it.
All right, Chris.
You guys. Appreciate you.
All righty. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. We'll be back. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia live from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi, 2384 Pass Road. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from the brand new Rouse's Market, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Buy a pound bag of camellia beans, Red Navy, or Great Northern. Two bags for $3 at any Rouse's. Bob, got to do this quick because we went a little bit long with Chris Blair. But, man, you know, the one guy who's really made an impact, and I didn't think we'd see him this much, Zay Alexander at cornerback. He had an ACL injury last November. That is normally 11 months, okay? Injury before.
I mean, he's working hard to rehab.
Man, he did a great job. It was funny, you know who told me that before it actually happened was John Emery. John came to one of our camps on the bye, and he was like, I'm coming back, and I'm going to play in the first game. And he did. And he said, you know who's going to be back early? He said, I don't know if he'll play in the first game, but he said by second or third game, Zay Alexander. Said, John, come on.
Yeah.
You can't come back that fast. He said, no, he's way ahead of schedule.
Well, you know who's never way ahead of schedule? Kendre Miller, the Saints running back. Mike, he shows flashes, and all of a sudden, you look at Kendre Miller. You know what Kendre Miller, now, he's only run the ball nine times. He played a couple of games. 52, averaging right under 6 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 16, but then he don't play.
Bob, I don't know.
It's like he runs, like you test driving a Ferrari or Lamborghini, and you go like, whoa, look at this going, then, we got to put it in the shop.
He's constantly in the shop.
In the shop, Kendre Miller.
Because you can see, he's talented.
He's big, he's fast, but he's not available, so he can't be held accountable. So, again, that's another example of, boy, that wasn't the right draft pick. Right, and at the same time, they said, why are we drafting him when we had somebody in our backyard, right?
Yeah, Tajay Spears
with the Titans.
And Tajay is fighting some injuries
now, too. Yeah, but I was just saying when it happened.
And Achan was there, too, who the Dolphins got.
Now
when he's healthy, luck with that.
And they've utilized him a lot.
As a runner and a receiver. We'll be back with more of our special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from the brand new Rouse's Market at 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. We'll be back to finish it off in hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon live from the brand new Rouse's Market, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Bob, one of the things, we'll talk a little bit more about it in the 3 o'clock hour. Man, how impressive Tulane has been. Man, Coach John Sumrall has done a fantastic job. And all these time-consuming drives, and they just wearing out defenses like they did against Charlotte. Man, they wore them out running the football. And then, you know, they're not asking Darian Minsa to do, you know, make every throw count. But when you got a running game and Makai Hughes at running back, man, you're doing pretty well there.
Well, Mike, choking. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it over there. Also, too, with how many defensive touchdowns that they've been able to make off of an interception or a pick six, fumble recovery, man, they are taking advantage. And North Texas was going to score because we had people, it's unacceptable to give up 40-something points to a team like North Texas. You got to understand, man, North Texas is built to throw the football, and they're going to score. Now, only thing bad with North Texas is that their defense is so awful. I mean, it is really bad. But, man, they were able to wear out Charlotte and come away with a big win. And now you got a kind of a mini bye here before your next game.
Yeah, Mike, if you look at Hughes, what he's been able to do, he's on pace to maybe rush for 1,500 yards and – something only Matt Forte and Tajay Spears did in a Tulane uniform. Now, he has to go basically 117, 120 yards a game. But he's had 11 now 100-yard performances in 14 career conference games over the last three games in that 12-day span.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network.
Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.